Thank you for listening to this podcast. The following discussion is an excerpt from a webcast about patient portals. You will hear experts at Iatric Systems discuss the importance of portal implementation planning, and they will review some common problems hospitals are facing. Our first speaker, Kay Jackson, is Manager of Software Certification and Compliance Application Software at Iatric Systems. Our second speaker, Mike Elvin, is a Patient Engagement Specialist at Iatric Systems. Mike oversees the operations of the company's patient engagement services.
Got a couple of questions for Mike. Mike is our expert. He's worked with a lot of hospitals with setting up their portal, and I thought we'd ask him some of the questions that I get asked a lot. So, Mike, as you talk to sites working to set up their portal plan, many of them tell me they don't have a portal plan in place. So can you share how important that portal plan is to the success of your portal implementation?
Sure. Bottom line, it's really important. Not to be too dramatic here, but if you don't have a portal plan, all is lost. And I don't know if you've seen the movie that's out under that title, but picture Robert Redford out in the stormy seas in his little boat that's slowly sinking. And that's kind of a picture of what's going to happen. It's a fitting analogy, really, because the implementation will go nowhere. You're kind of dead in the water. So, Kay, I know you mentioned a list earlier in your presentation of about a dozen elements to consider when putting a patient portal plan together. And these are absolutely important, but they're also sort of a baseline. And there's so many moving parts to any implementation, no matter what it is, but especially a portal implementation, from communication, both internal communication and external communication, marketing, and absolutely you have to keep in mind real-world workflow changes and employee concerns. I mean, usually those are kind of swept under the rug or not addressed, but you have to consider not just the elements of, you know, what do you want in your portal, how do you want to set it up, and what do I need technologically to prepare, but also the human elements. And that's so important to keep in mind. You can't just purchase and implement a portal and expect people to use it. To not overdo it here, but to use a second movie reference, if you build it, they might not necessarily come.
Okay, Ed, do you have a question for
Mike? I do, Mike. This is Ed Bishop. Earlier in the presentation, Kay brought up the concept of ownership of the portal, which
right.
is also an issue that I hear during implementations. What have you seen, and what are your recommendations about the definitions around who owns the portal within the facility?
Well, you know, I've seen it many different ways, and it's always a concern. I know it's on the question that's on everyone's lips, but the bottom line is everyone who wants it to work, meaning all the stakeholders in any organization, they all need to take ownership of it to some extent. I believe it starts with IT, you know, obviously, technologically speaking, and possibly your CFO, anyone involved in finance is going to be worrying about the bottom line and the dollars. But really, everyone is a stakeholder, and that includes everyone from admitting to discharge, and it needs to start with your IT department. But the critical part of this, and one element that usually goes missing, is support from upper management. And this means your CFO, your CIO, and really your physician-in-chief, your surgeon-in-chief, your entire IT team involved in portal implementation needs to feel that they're being supported all the way through the line by your stakeholders.
Great. And to add on to that a little bit, Mike, the idea of the portal plan that you and Kay were discussing earlier, once the implementation gets underway, which departments and representatives need to be involved in the portal plan and the implementation? I get that question a lot early on in an implementation.
Right. I can easily understand why. I mean, everyone is wondering if they should be involved. Some people might think that they're not involved, but really it would include your nursing department, your lab department, medical records, obviously marketing and public relations, and admitting and case management. I'd say admitting and case management are probably the two most essential, because all of those departments, minus maybe public relations and marketing, are patient-facing, meaning they work with patients every single day. And, you know, there are interactions throughout every patient cycle, and each one of those interactions is an opportunity to, you know, get the portal kind of top of mind for these patients. And, of course, your physicians, too. And, you know, as I mentioned, every patient-facing department is a stakeholder. And in terms of support of portal users, you know, answering questions they might have, and this goes back to ownership, too, is a well-trained staff. If you train your staff as well as you possibly can, they can provide these kind of interventions at each point of contact. And I'd say that no patient-facing staff member should ever be in the dark about basic functionality of the portal. They should know exactly what it's all about, what it offers, And most likely, these staff members will be the ones your patients will come to for portal questions. So I'd recommend maybe a train-the-trainer approach, maybe get a super user in training from each department so they can, you know, provide that further training to their colleagues. And Ed, I'm just going to share a recent experience of one of our employees. I just heard this the other day, and it kind of blew my mind. So this employee went to the hospital for eye surgery, I think, and upon leaving, she was handed a piece of paper by the discharge staff. And this member of discharge said, you know, oh, by the way, if you want to access your information, you can register for this site. But, you know, honestly, it's really easier to maybe call your doctor or us because it usually doesn't get updated. And I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And our employee then said to this person, why do you have it? Why do you have this portal if you don't use it? And the answer was, we have to. And this is
wow.
You know, yeah, this is nuts. So, I mean, do you really think that this hospital is going to meet the engagement criteria this way? It's just not going to happen. It's a classic case of, you know, staff not being trained properly. The benefits of the portal, the importance of it, and this happens far too often. It's way too widespread, and that's what we're trying to avoid here.
And think of the opportunities they're missing to give that digital information to their patients.
Exactly. Yep,
wow.
Exactly.
This morning I was working with a hospital, and I thought I'd talked to everyone talked to everyone about needing the portal, but this morning a site, stage one, year two, thought they had till October of 2015 to get their portal, and I reminded them they overlooked that. Do you see that where a lot of hospitals still don't understand that they need a portal regardless of their stage?
Yes, absolutely. And it's scary, but I'm honestly no longer surprised by that. Maybe I should be, but communication, not only about meaningful use, but communication with among staff, like understanding of meaningful use and how a portal ties into that. It's usually the last thing people really talk about or think about, but it's key to, I'd say, any portal implementation plan. I mean, you have to talk to your people. You have to prepare them for what's to come. You have to give context for what's coming. And any plan that you hope has any chance of being successful will definitely include that step. And without fail, this is without fail, every time I go on site for meetings about portals or portal training, people seldom even know why they're there. They don't know why I'm there.
Oh, wow.
So I think it's important. You know, every time you set up anything in your hospital that's going to involve your staff, you have to keep them in the loop. You know, whether it's in an employee newsletter, you know, writing an article about it or sending out a memo, having a town hall, whatever it takes to get them on board.
Well, you know, that brings up another question I had. You know, you mentioned that a lot of people don't know within the hospital. Do you think that most providers are just trying to check that box for meaningful use, or do you think they really want
Absolutely.
To reach higher and have more information for their patients so that they will adopt the portal?
Well, it's all over the map. You get people who have different concerns. You know, some are just concerned about the bare minimum, the bottom line, and they have those, you know, meaningful use dollar signs in their eyes, and you can't really fault them for that. But at the same time, it's been shown time and time again that patient outcomes are directly related to patient engagement. I mean, this is pretty much proven as fact by now, and patient engagement is really directly related to patient portals. It's the easiest way to have that direct conduit to your patients. But in meaningful use terms, you know, stage three, stage four, they might bump up those 5% adoption percentages, and you never know what's going to happen. So even just if you're looking at the bottom line, you have to think ahead in terms of meaningful use. Those percentages are bound to go up.
Yeah, and I can see where a portal would really help on lowering the readmission rates for patients, too.
Exactly, right. Yep, that's a big concern. That's one reason why meaningful use is in place.
So when you consult with hospitals and providers on their plans, can you talk about why it's important, why they felt like they needed to go outside their organization to really help with patient adoption to reach that greater than 5%?
Well, I think it comes down to a question of resources. And, you know, I think we put out two registration questions for this webcast, and many of you out there have that same concern. You know, we don't have the resources to make this happen. And with so much demand from meaningful use across pretty much every service line, your IT department, your public relations department, they might be overwhelmed, just completely overwhelmed and, you know, maybe understaffed. And patient engagement, understandably, might be the last thing on the mind of, say, the IT specialist just trying to get this new technology off the ground. But ultimately, it's okay to ask for help when you need it, and it doesn't have to be that expensive. There are affordable resources out there. There are specialists designed strictly just there to help you reach your goals for patient engagement in terms of external communications, internal communications, helping your staff sort of lead the way toward a culture of patient-centered care that keeps coming up. And such an important concept of patient-centered care, and it's hard to get there. But, you know, speaking of iatric systems specifically, we have our own set of services here, and I'll be talking about those in a little bit, but we can assist with all of these concerns, really.
Well, what if they haven't bought our portal? What if they've bought someone else's portal and they're struggling?
That's fine. Fine. Actually, one unique aspect of our patient engagement services is we are vendor agnostic. It's sort of a unique arrangement. We work with any organization using any patient portal technology. That said, we do have the inside track on implementing our own patient portal. It's called Patient Access, and you're going to be giving a demo of it. But the underlying principles of patient engagement are they're universal. They're universally daunting. And our kind of experience and expertise, it doesn't depend on any particular technology, but what it does is we focus on the human element that I've mentioned, both internally and externally. And then, as I mentioned, that's, you know, the element that's missing from a lot of portal implementation plans.
First question I have for you, can you expand upon case management as a stakeholder?
I'll field this one, Kay. It really depends on, you know, who does your discharge process. And I know in a lot of organizations that, you know, involves their case management team. And what's great about case management is if you provide them with, say, a tablet, some kind of iPad or whatever else that has the portal on it, you can sign people up right as they're being discharged from your organization, right on the spot. You know, generate the patient code and walk them through the entire process while they're still there. And case management is in a unique perspective because they can spend a little bit more time with your patients than other people may be able to.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, Mike, because when my mother, when they first started getting a portal at the hospital my mother was in, they had signs all over, ask us about the portal. I asked the case manager, and she didn't have any idea about what the portal was.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It says to me, everybody in the hospital needs to know about your portal. Let them be your early adopters. Sandy, another question?
Hey, sure. How do you develop standards for use of the portal for patient care and then ensure the standards are being met? For instance, currently, abnormal lab results are reported via phone call. Can that be moved to a portal, and how to train and monitor provider use of the portal? How do you determine whether putting abnormal results to the portal are okay or not?
Mike, you want to answer that one?
Sure, I'll take a stab at it. In my experience, it's really a case-by-case basis. It's really whatever you want to put out there. You know, obviously, sensitive results, HIV results, things like that, you will not want to put out there immediately. You can set a time period. You know, some people do 36 hours, some people do 48 hours, just to kind of give the provider some time to be able to reach out to that patient individually. But it's really up to each site to determine what they want to provide and what they don't.
I think that's the doctors are most concerned about, that patient finding out before they have a chance to talk to the patient.
Exactly.
Yep. Concern. I hear that all the time.
Are any level of patient engagement services included in your standard portal implementation?
Ed, do you want to answer that one?
Not very much. I mean, we certainly talk to you about who needs to be involved in the implementation and help make some of the decisions. But what Mike and his team really do is to come in and look at your overall organization from top to bottom and determine, you know, what's best for your organization in order to engage your community. So we do basically the bare minimum to get you up and running, which is make sure that the people that need to be involved are involved.
You know, Kay, I'm just going to put this question out there because I noticed a lot of these questions on the registration here. You know, people are wondering, where do I find the resources to be able to maybe put some marketing elements out there, public relations initiatives? And they're wondering about, you know, how much is this going to cost me? Because ultimately, that is the bottom line. How much is this going to cost to implement a patient portal? And the answer from a marketing standpoint is it doesn't have to cost you a lot. There are a lot of things you can do that don't involve, you know, television ads, radio ads, anything where you're throwing money at the problem. Social media is essentially free. You might want to print up some brochures, things like that. But ultimately, a lot of the things you're going to be able to do are at no cost to you. As I mentioned, social media, you know, putting signage around the hospital digitally, or if you want to print up some signs, that's fine too. That really doesn't cost that much. But people are worried that there's a big marketing blitz, and it really does not have to cost all that much money.
Yeah, what our other employee had saying, oh, just call, don't go. You don't have to go to the portal.
Yeah, that is terrible, terrible subterfuge. So I would recommend if you are going to go it alone and you're not going to you know, ask for outside help. There are things you can do, but what's great about our patient engagement services is we've basically thought of everything for you. So we can hand off a lot of the work that we've already done. You can just use it right away.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you would like more information or would like to talk to one of our experts, please email us at info@iatric.com. Thank you.